It's my time. Oh, tell them, you just don't know what you're in for. Hallelujah. Just wait, there's another testimony coming. Hallelujah, there's another testimony on its way. Hallelujah. God is up to something, and I'm going to serve him forever and a day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It is so good to see each and every one of you on this wonderful first Sunday, the Sunday of celebrating. This is our April celebration, celebrating 24 years as Eagle Heights Worship Center. So I kind of ask you, you know, where were you? Think for just a moment, where were you 24 years ago? Where were you 24 years ago? I was teasing Miss Gigi. I said, you were just a thought in God's mind. You weren't even here yet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to recognize our board members next week because there are not all of us present at the moment. So I want to make sure that I do that along with the membership upon next Sunday. I'm going to minister to you today on what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? Now, I want to also recognize that God is doing great things amongst the body because I look for double. I look for double. And it is no strange thing that right across the aisle from each other is an almost identical financial miracle. Just a few months ago, Brother Cornelius and Sister Janisha came upon a hard spot where they were behind on some bills, and God has always been faithful to bring them through, but somebody stepped up and paid the back bill that they had that they were worried about because of the seed that was in the ground. And I will tell you, they didn't come to me crying and begging and saying, "Good God, please do something." They just kept on believing and what Lord was saying and sowing and putting their tithe in and doing what they could do and just trusting God, and God did it. And then now, upon this morning, Brother D said that he got behind because of sickness, and the Lord has stepped up and paid some past bills on their family's behalf. Well, that ought to be a high five across the aisle right there. God, there's a blessed row right there. If you got any back bills, you might think about sitting next to them. Hallelujah. Because the anointing will rub off on you. Praise God. And then here again upon this morning, Miss Betsy is with us. Richard and Betsy, praise the Lord. Last week was their first Sunday morning after 3 months of sickness, and the Lord did such a mighty work. Prophetess went back and prayed for Betsy, right as the Holy Spirit said, "It's time, do it now, it's time, right now." And she came in with oxygen. How many remember that? She's had oxygen the last 3 months. And so the Lord touched her right then. She then told us that afternoon that she had not had to have any more oxygen, hadn't had to have it all week. And got out and walked in the store, walked around the store and the place with others, came back in, and her oxygen level was still 95 and going up. Hallelujah. Why don't you give Jesus a great big hallelujah that he can overthrow COVID, overthrow the very lung problems. He can put the breath of life back into you. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. So in this house, we have salvations, people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just last week during prayer time, Brother Quentin got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, in that presence of that. Praise the Lord. Our dear sister a couple weeks before got baptized in the Holy Ghost in less than 2 minutes, just like that. Praise the Lord. How many know that God is doing wonderful things just like he said he does and proved he did in the Bible? Now turn to somebody and say, just because you weren't alive in the Bible days doesn't mean God can't do it. See, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that a risen Savior that did it then is still alive to do it again. Now, how many folks have received some kind of wonderful from the Lord that you know you can prove it is the Lord? Hallelujah. How many recognize you were saved, miraculously saved by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God? And you can tell somebody, I know I was because I was there. Hallelujah. I was right there. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to preach to you today. What time is it? And you always get another question right afterwards. Are we there yet? How many have ever wondered about the timing of things in life? And am I where I should be at this time? And then there's the question, am I there yet? And what does that there look like? And we might get into that. But I want to just discuss with you just for a few moments what timing and things look like. Praise the Lord. And I know that this Sunday morning marks something special in the eyes of God as we are coming off of Double Adar and moving into springtime. We know that there is a timing from the Lord. So one of the things I found online says, life teaches us to make good use of time, while time teaches us the value of life. Time teaches us to make good use of time, while time teaches us the value of life. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. How many know that time is precious to us? Who made time in the first place? God Almighty is the maker of time and space. He sits outside of time in eternity, and he sits outside of the universe and speaks to nothing and makes everything that it is. And he stretches forth the stars and stretches forth the heavens as if they are a curtain, as if they are fabric. This is the premise of Albert Einstein. He looked at the universe and his theory of relativity and the things of time in space. He looked at the very blackness of that which looked like nothing to everyone else, and he looked at scripture and he looked at the sky and he said, I believe it's a fabric because God has stretched it out. Now I gotta prove it mathematically that gravity is not the density alone of some magnetic force, but it is the density of weight in the fabric of space. God speaks and time is made, and time ticks through time, and time ticks in many different ways. We see clocks all over the universe. Our earth spins and we have a day and time. Our earth goes around and orbits around the sun and we have a year. And all of the planets go around the sun, and the sun goes around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And then we have all of that that we can't even understand. We're just trying to make sure we understand our own time. Turn to somebody and say, I can't think all about the universe. I let God do that. What does time do for us? Time records history. Time records history and presents the now. Isn't it strange that yesterday was today back then? And we're living in the future of our yesterday. Saturday, Sunday was the future, and we're now in the future, and future has become now. Time, as it ticks forward, presents us to the right now. I wrote a couple things down that I want to just mention just for a while as we go through the message today. The steady rhythmic tick of time passes and passing moment to moment, second to second, hour by hour, days, years, decades, lifetimes, awaits no one, but continues marching to the very draw of the future, never truly escaping the past. While there is every shift moving present, where decisions are made as to what time is it? Or do we recognize it? Do we name it? Do we assist it? What does time mean to us? Time is a specific precious treasure that we run out of every day and have to have a reset. It gives way to the most definitive, to eternity. we then have to utilize it without understanding the quality that we make in it. We will determine what happens in our present. Some people put value in time. Some people put relationship in that time. Some people put prayer in that time. Some people put a smile in that time. Some people put good in that time. I'm saddened that people waste time with the things that hurt and destroy. And that is because man has been exposed to sin, and sin does things wrong. But just because we have faced those that have put wrong things in time doesn't mean we have to wipe the slate of good. We can start putting more good and more God in our time till it overflows and somebody says, wait a minute, wait a minute. I see this picture that don't look good in time, and I see this picture what God did through your life in time, and I think I want to have a time change. And just because they change it for daylight savings didn't change some people's life from evil to good. It's going to take Jesus to do that. Time is the place that records your presence. Time and place are the things that record your presence. Turn to somebody and say, I know you. I see you right there. I see you right there. And if I record the time and the coordinates of where you're at, I know you're not somewhere else. I'm a witness that I am in this time with you. I record your presence. You cannot be two places in one time, even in the court of law. If you have witnesses that show that you were in this place at this time and they were too, that there is no way that you could have done something else way over there out of place and out of that time. Even if it's the same place but a different time. Oh, after this church service is over and you go out to go eat, there will be pews that are empty for a few hours. Because why? You have changed your place in a different time. And so we look at time. Did you know that if two automobiles tried to occupy the same place at different times, it's called traffic. But if they try to occupy it at the same time, it's called an accident. Time shows us something. It shows up in our lives as time of life. How many have ever come to that place, time of life? I'm going through that time of life, or I'm shifting into my senior years, or I'm shifting into my married and family years. I'm shifting. It is also shows up as our lifetime. How many have know that from the time you were born to the time that you die is called your lifetime, and what you put in timeline is where we are all interconnected. That's why I ask, where were you 24 years ago? Because you that if you weren't right here, you were not in the same timeline. You were in a different place at the same time, but your life now has then come to the same timeline at the same place on purpose. Somebody say, on purpose. God has a purpose. We understand that time can be based in the money things of our life. At work, there is time at work. Aren't you glad when the time to go home? And then there's a time to go to work and a time to go home. And there's a time for your bills. Did you know your bills have to be paid on time? You just can't have the money. They got to get somewhere on time. Because why? You're renting time. You're renting the place on time. You're renting that loan on time. Everything that has to do with money is the time value of money. It is that which is in time. Your planning and appointments better have a time to them, or you're going to be lost late and don't know what appointments you were supposed to be at. Time shows up in our lives through clocks and calendars, seconds and minutes and hours. It is always a wonderful thing when you find somebody who's been married for a long time and they run back and say how many seconds they've actually been married, and they do the calculations of it. And it's like, woo, I've been married a real long time. It's all how you measure that time in seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years. Turn into decades, centuries, lifelines. on April 1st, and this is no April Fool's joke, but on April 1st, someone very dear to me had been born on that day. It was the matriarch of our family, the first one to ever get saved under the preaching of Billy Sunday in 1907. But she was born April 1st in 1891. That's my grandmother. Just two generations span both the 21st century, the 20th century, and the 19th century. It is a very odd thing because of the time schedules and the lateness that she was 37 when my dad was born and I was 34 when he was born, that just two generations spanned then already 70 plus years. I was dedicated on my grandma and grandfather's 50th wedding anniversary. I was baby dedicated. There was a great distance of time between generations, but it afforded me in that uniqueness someone who understood the Great Depression, somebody who had lived through that particular time, somebody had gone through the World War II. When I did my history studies in school, I had inside sources because they were there in time. She passed on at 96 and a half years old. That gives me an understanding that if I claim the life, long life, I can possibly get there too. If I understand you got to take care of your health in time and you got to understand the things God wants you to do in time. Time is a marker. Time is a moving indicator. How many have ever thought about how fast sometimes it goes? When you're a child, time seems to move at a very regular rate. And then pretty soon, as you get into your adulthood and you start working, it seems like time starts speeding up. And it's strange that when you retire, it don't slow back down again. There are folks that when it retires, it seems like it speeds up, even though they're trying to slow it down by waiting more at the doctor's office. Because waiting is often said the slowest of time. Time is a resource. And when you take a look at time, not fleeting, but time as a resource, you can begin to understand that time, God meant time, you in time, to be partnered with purpose. Somebody say, as long as I partner the time with purpose, I can find God's timing. Let's stand for the reading of the word found in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 and 11. And I want to preface this really quick, that King Solomon, the wisest man upon the face of the planet at that time, was not wise to understand the things of eternity. God had not placed those things. He did not understand beyond the grave. He did not understand the things of God, because after that the Lord had spoke to him and given him those things, he did not continue the relationship with the Lord to ask even the questions that his father, King David, had asked. For King David understood the dispensations of time, that there was coming a Savior. King Solomon, being wiser than his dad, somehow missed the eternal component. Let us look at what he did say. He said, and let's read in concert together. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. Stop. That activity here in the New Living in the King James says for every purpose. Because there are, I have to clarify that, because there's a lot of people do a lot of activity and it's not on purpose. Chaos is a lot of activity, but it's not on purpose. Let us read on. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather those stones. A time to embrace. A time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to give and a And in that verse 4, one I didn't read, a time to grieve and a time to dance. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What King Solomon is doing here with the time is like a pendulum on a clock. He is stating that when the pendulum is one way, it has to shift back to the time of another. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. What you do is what's in between. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to dance. There's a time for war, but when that time is over, there's a time for peace. He is stating that in the clock of man, that there are certain things that happen over and over and over. That if you understand that you're in this time of the pendulum, you have hope that you're going to come back over to this time. But then how do we hold that pendulum from not having to grieve again and only dance? Maturity says that no matter which position that I find myself in, I must trust in the Lord. For it is the Lord that is the maker of all time. We find then also in verse 11 that yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. He is stating with great wisdom that even though you might know a whole lot, you don't know everything. If I was to take a look at your life and only have a glimpse of a few picture frame moments in time, I could not adequately explain your testimony and your witness of what God has done in your life. I could not say or sense all of the flavor and all of the ups and downs and the swings of the pendulum that has brought you to this place. Only you have recorded that besides God and those that are around you and witnesses of that fact. But how many are glad that at one time I didn't have a testimony, and now over here I do have a testimony. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. And there's a place in God that you don't have to shift back to be lost again. Because of his eternal component, once that you come to Christ, you can stay with Christ. Once you come in under joy, you can stay in joy. Once you come into peace, you can stay in peace. And you can understand that God has made everything beautiful for its time. Turn to somebody and say, even though you might go through a hard time, God has some beauty he wants to expose into your life. Even though I've been burned by friends and I've been stabbed by enemies, went through times where I didn't know I was going to come through the valley, even though I've been through excruciating mockery and people hating on me and everything not turning out the way that I thought it would, if I can just but get on my knees, I can grow taller. If I can just get before God, I can get the very things that he needs for me to go forward. I can go through the valley of the shadow of death, and I do not have to fear the evil, because I know thou art with me, Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And even though I might have many enemies, you spread the table of our relationship, and I sit at a table of communion, because I'm connected to you. And at that table, my enemies freeze and cannot participate. And it is on sweet whispers that you turn to me and say, son, where are your ashes? The ashes, you mean the past residue of the sediment of what I went through, the past proof of all the pain, the past evidence of who my enemies were, the past burning. Said, if you give me your ashes, I'll give you beauty for them. Somebody say, that's the goodness of Jesus. God is good like that. How many have ever traded a few ashes and the Lord's given you beauty instead? Hallelujah. Time. This is one that some people don't like. There's a time to judge. Oh, there is a supreme judge, and it doesn't matter. I am totally just blown away sometimes that even a person, if they were 175, the years of Abraham, How then at 175 could try to say they know everything they don't know? Job, having been over 100 years old, got in trouble with God because he tried to act like he knew everything God knew. And God said, how many gallons are in the ocean? Where is the snow hidden before it falls? Who puts the stars where they are in their order? And can you tell me those you cannot see? Isn't it strange that medical and even science tells us that our eyes can only see 0.01% of the light perspective, yet humans think they know more than God who made the light itself. I want him to reveal to me some things that he knows, because the more time I spend with my Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, the smarter that I get. Because he gives his knowledge and his wisdom, his understanding, and his wisdom will confound even the wisest, and it'll look foolish until their mouths drop open because the ark door will not open. They thought Noah was crazy. You old man, you're building a boat and there ain't no water. And it's never come down. But the Lord told him, get it built, because there's coming a time where the rains are going to come and the flood is going to come. He said, there's a time, get it built, Noah. And Noah was faithful to get it built, mocked at for over 100 years. Not a single person in his church but his family. And there was a few thoughts they had that Dad was a little crazy. But when it was time and the rain started coming, and kept coming, and kept coming, and the very wells of the earth burst forth, and kept coming. Even the greatest Olympic swimmers at that time could not swim in it, because they couldn't breathe and how fast it was coming down. And they knocked on the door, and knocked on the door, and knocked on the door, but could not be rescued, because Noah didn't close the door, God did. So as long as we are in this earth suit in time, we have the time to believe in Christ and get closer to the Lord. But I will tell you, there is a judge whose gavel will come down and he will judge. We make judgments all the time. How many had to make a judgment in traffic whether the light was green, yellow, or red? And do I stop or go through the red? I had to make a judgment call. And if I messed it up, there might be another person who judges me with a ticket, who then takes me before a judge who judges my driving skills. And if I accidentally cause someone to lose their life, I might meet the very penalty of that judge by manslaughter charges and be in jail. Don't judge me. There will be a time to judge. And we better use good judgment. Now, when the Lord judges, he judges with reward and favor or penalty and consequence. This is what is the pendulum of the swing. Which side are you on? There is other types of time recorded in the Bible. There is prophetic time. There is God's master timeline that he will release it in time. When will the Lord come back? It's not in time yet. It is still in his mind and heart, Father God. For the Lord himself said, Father has not shared it, not even with me, because it's not been spoken. He caused a prophetic word that it would happen, but until the eternal God releases it, it's not time. You can recognize the times and the seasons are getting closer because of the prophetic word, and there is a prophetic timeline, but God holds in reserve when he says it's time. It's time. He said it was time to visit a virgin called Mary and bring forth his son in the fullness of time. God has a master timeline, and aren't you glad that you're a part of it? There are times and seasons. The Lord said we need to understand the ebb and the flow of times and seasons of humanity. That when things get really bad, even though sin gets bad, grace multiplies so that folks can be saved. That if you understand times and seasons, there's many of us that wonder whether the birds understand the times and seasons anymore. Because when I was growing up, I only seen the geese fly one time a year. Now I see them crisscross the skies at different times, and I go over to one of these little ponds by one of the apartment buildings, and I look at the geese and go, "You're still here? It's getting cold." There used to be certain order, and things have been shaken up out of order. It seemed like that we would go through and there'd be a certain shift through the spring to the summer, a little variations every now and then. But then there are years that all of a sudden it goes from 50 degrees and we're into the 90s in a week and a half, and we go, "Where did spring go?" And then there's other times it shifts in other ways. It used to be when I was growing up in Rockford, Illinois, you knew exactly when the weather was going to shift because football was in the air. We'd have all of those hot two-a-day practices, but we loved October 1st to November 1st. November 1st being the time of a lot of the playoffs, but I loved October because October, all of a sudden, there was a shift. And it almost happened, almost periodically, within a day or two, every single year. Now we just hope that we can figure out, now we go, and you're in Missouri. You don't like the weather. Just wait a few minutes. Then there is another one called the end of time. Well, the end of time, as people present it, is the end of the world. Well, that's not really the end of time. They're really putting time together with the world itself and the world as we know it. Because the Lord said, "Behold, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth." And so there's going to be a time that restarts, but there's a time that ends for everything. I love this next one because there is a people who understand there is a time to pray. Some people think that the time to pray is only when there's calamity. Well, other people know that there's a time to pray every day because it's a communication with the Lord. We understand it. It's time. Turn to somebody and say, "It's time to pray." And when all of God's people don't pray on a consistent basis, there's something that happens with the pendulum because, see, prayer begins to hold things to the God side. You can pray for revival and the pendulum swing. But then when God's people get tired of revival, they let go of the prayer and the pendulum starts swinging back towards the chaos of sin and degradation. "Oh, I don't think we should pray anymore at home." Then home is going to be faced with chaos. "I don't think we should have prayer meetings in church anymore." Then the church is going to be faced with chaos. Because the communication with God at his throne, with eternity, is what comes in and causes time to move. We have our dreams, we have our aspirations, we have our goals. But there's a time to be patient. There's a time to be patient. Everybody say, patience means wait. Say, "Well, I don't have patience." Well, let's just look in the Bible. Here's how God gives patience: tribulation. A whole lot of harm, a whole lot of tribulation brings patience. And that's where the bodybuilders say, "No pain, no gain." Because you got to be patient. The Bible also says, "Let patience have her perfect work." Because if you understand how to be patient, that means not to give up on it, but to say, "I know it's coming, but I'm not going to let my feelings be so rambunctious that I get out in front of God, nor I'm going to be so lazy that I'm not with God. I'm going to be with God, and when he says it, it's going to happen. I'm going to believe him forever and a day. What he said will come to pass. I believe him. I'm walking with it, and there can only be one outcome." And there's a time to work. I know for some people that is not a good word, but I know that 4.5 million people changed jobs just in the last recording period of the unemployment time. They changed jobs. They're looking for, in this inflationary time, they're looking for places where they can work for more money. It's sad, though, that there's some people that work for a day and they leave the job because they don't like work. Understand that you don't. There's some people gifted enough to game for money, but there's others can't game for money. You got to get up because you can't couch for money. You got to get up and do a little work. Work is the thing that's necessary to take the energy and put in time, the quality that's necessary to get something back out. How many knows if farmers don't work the field, there will be nothing grown? And the nurses and doctors don't go to work, there's a whole lot of people will die. And if the funeral directors and all their folks don't go to work, we'll have a whole lot of stinking bodies. Because people die every day. There is a time to work. See, somebody say, it's all right, I like it, the time to work. And there's a time to act. And that act is not becoming an actor or an actress and pretending to be on Hollywood. There's a time where you have dreamt about it, you have put it down, you have walked it through the process, you've got the strategy, you got the steps, but there's a time to kick faith into a step and begin the step and put it into action. Because when you put the plan of God into action, Holy Spirit goes into action with you. And that which other people think was normal becomes abnormal to them because they thought it was natural when you weren't walking just in the natural. You're walking with Jesus in the supernatural. If somebody wants to bump the air up to 72, we'll be okay. I don't want to freeze everybody out. Come this Tuesday, we're going to find the next one. It's not a presidential election. It's not voting for people in Congress. But this next Tuesday is a time to vote. Because we're going to be voting for school board. And on the school board, we want to vote for two people that are there that said, I want parents to still be in control of what goes on in the schools and education of their children. I want to make sure that the children are not taught how to be sex slaves and switch back and forth at kindergarten through third grade. You do not stand for what is God even at the voting place, then you will not stand in public, because this is your first voice that when you put forth. And during an off time, God's people, their vote is going to count by 200 times, because there's a lot of people won't vote because it's not very much interesting to them, when saving our children's lives is very interesting to us. Or we'll be all out making sure that we get a good private Christian school at a higher rate going. There's a time to honor, a time to say thank you for what you're doing and show the honor for things. Honor is huge, because honor will open doors. Honor will open doors that previously been locked up. Hallelujah. If you can show more honor than anybody else at your place of work, they will promote you. If you can show more honor in your community, they will promote you. Because honor will find the ways that no one else is looking to find. Honor will not do the path of least resistance. Honor will find, even though it may be expensive to our the way that we look at things, honor will find the treasured path. Oh, yes, and it's in time. What you put in time shows up in your life. And then we understand around here that it's time to celebrate. And so for clarity, as we go through, I want to, because the schools don't seem to do it right, I want to understand how an anniversary works. That when you start a thing and you go to the first anniversary, you are celebrating the complete year that has already been done. So we have already completed, as of the 6th coming up, I believe that's on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll have completed 24 full years as Eagle Heights Worship Center. And somebody said, let's take the turn. take the turn. Come Thursday, we're walking in week 25. And what we put in 25 will be what we remember through the album of what happened. And God's got some things he wants to put in 25, hallelujah, for your life that hadn't been before. Say, there's something new going to show up because God has an appointment. Somebody celebrate what has been done. Celebrate what he is doing. Celebrate what he's going to do. Somebody in my family is going to be saved. Somebody that I work with is going to come to Christ. Somebody's going to be healed. Somebody's going to be delivered. Somebody is going to be blessed. Somebody, my testimony is going to reach more in 25 than it did in 24. Hallelujah. Shout yes. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. There's a time to embrace. There's folks say, you know what? Do you know Eagle Heights Worship Center? And I had an elected official go, you're that hugging church. You know how many people go through life and don't get a good hug? So they go to the bars and get drunk to find a different one. Or they're getting hugged by an abuser or a sexual predator. Because everyone needs a godly hug, a godly acceptance, a place of embrace. But let me go a step further, that an embrace is where you embrace not only the possibilities, but the vision that God has given. It's a place where you embrace it and it becomes part of you. And you feel the very livelihood of that vision. This is what's happening here in this year as we transition into 25. That this year of 25th year, more people will embrace the vision, whether you've been here for a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, or 20-some years, or all 24, you're going to embrace a piece of that vision and it's going to become alive to you. You're going to work in it. You're going to activate in it and you're going to see God do stuff through you that God decided he didn't want to do through the preacher. It's called body ministry. Hallelujah. Where we minister one to another. We minister outside the walls. We reach out to somebody that's down because we remember, hey, I was down there. And somebody lifted me up by the power of Jesus. And I want to lift you up too. You don't need those drugs. I didn't. You don't need that alcohol. I did it. You don't need that depression. I did it. But I couldn't find my way out till a Savior come. Somebody came to tell me about a Savior, and it kind of happens like this. Hallelujah. I need a quick volunteer that don't mind being down here on the floor real quick. Somebody light, I can lift him up. Praise the Lord. Somebody light. Not Jamar. He's too strong. Too strong for me. Too strong for me. All right, Brother Jason, come right. We promise. You just feet right here and lay down that way. You're a person that can't get up. Help! I've fallen into sin and stuff, and I can't get up. All right, Brother Jamar, come and be Jesus for me. Come be Jesus. We need a strong Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't need no wimpy American Jesus. We need a strong Jesus. And see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach, because I got a relationship with you. So I'm going to reach you, and I'm going to introduce you and your saving strength, Jesus, to this person who can't get up. The first, when I come over and I'm talking to this person, they act like, you know, I can't get up. Don't you understand? I can't get up. Well, I'm here to help you up. And no. I can't get up. And you haven't been through what I've been through. You don't know the pain I'm in. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then there's others that just don't know there's help. They don't know how to get help. And so this is like the man, the Lord said, don't you want to be healed? That's good. I'd like to be healed. How in the world can I be healed? And say, well, I know somebody that can help you up. And so my witness is, hold that a second. I need your attention to sit up to introduce you, because it looks like
says, I will help you. There is the Lord right there. And now.
There, Pastor Jason here is not introduced as much to me as he is to Jesus. I didn't get in the way of them coming together. I helped them meet where he can do what I, where Jesus can do what I can't do for them. I can testify, I can help, but Jesus is the one that brought me in. He's the one that'll bring you in. Thank you, brethren. How many see that? See that? Woo. It's time. It's time to advance. There are a lot of people during the pandemic that chose a lifestyle of less. They chose a lifestyle of not shining, of dull, of fear, of all of the things. There are those that now have the opportunity to shine, to be the best producers that you could ever be. You're the ones that worked through those times. You're the ones that was there when other people were all out. I remember a time when Miss Heather, when she was working, it seemed like everybody else was out sick and they were having to get temps in and she was the only one. Yeah, the God person should be the one that can count on the peg that holds everything together. World, wake up. When you got a real Christian, you got somebody that you can count on. That'll be through thick and thin. She'd already been through stuff, but now she wanted to shine. We are here to shine the light of Christ as bright as we can. And that means that if others don't go, we'll go ahead and advance so that we can tell them it's clear. Come on. My wife and I, we were on a cruise, and they got us on this little boat to go to the island. And this has been years ago. And we got on the island, and then because somebody else was in the little slip that they were to go to, and they were going to try to put us right up to the beach and let us just walk right out the boat ramp right onto the beach. But because the slip was occupied, they had to come around to another side. And the captain said, the waters, we can't get any closer because of the ship and the rocks and stuff. We got you as close as possible. We need a volunteer that can test the waters. We understand they're safe enough by all of our measurements, but nobody wanted to move. Nobody wanted to move. I started moving to the forward. Honey, what are you doing? My wife said. I said, ain't nobody going to move off of this boat till somebody takes the initiative to move off this boat. And since I'm the Goliath on this boat, I can stand on the bottom a lot further than everybody else. So I walked right off into the water, and it came up here to my chest. And I said, hey, y'all, it's only this deep. If you're shorter than that, I'll help you. All the rest of you that are 5'8 and up, come on, if you can swim, come on. That is it. Turned back around, got to the edge, started helping people down, folks with life jackets on and everything, because they were ready to jump off the boat, didn't know how much how they could do things. We were helping people on, and I ended up doing the job of the other guys. You know why I ended up doing that? Because all the other guys on this little boat, and you imagine, we're under 5'8". Can you imagine them with the life jacket bobbing up and down trying to help somebody else? I knew where my strengths were. And I knew God's design of me could handle the situation that was different than what was presented. You've got to understand that God has already designed you for some things that you now can advance. You don't have to wait for someone else to take the advancement. All you got to do is understand, hey, I got this. I can step into these waters, and I can still be all right. And I can help others navigate the waters because God designed me for these waters. God designed me to come in to bring them into joy. God designed me to go get things and bring it into the kingdom. God designed me to excel and to help others excel. God designed me to teach. God designed me to minister. God designed me to reach out my hand and pull someone else in. God designed me to be an encouragement. God designed me to smile when everyone else ain't smiling. God designed me, and I'm moving in my design. Shout, it's my time. My time to advance. My time to advance. And then God spoke to us that 2022 is the year that seeds expansion. It's time to expand. And you're seeing that expansion. Every time that there is expansion, something that was there before you expanded gets bumped. So when you got life all around you and you expand your authority or you expand your influence or you expand at your job or position or you expand, you bump somebody else from that spot. And the person that gets bumped or the thing that gets bumped usually has something to say about it. Hey, why are you taking my spot? Why did you take my job? Did you just brown nose with the person in charge? Why did you get such favor? Why are you expanding? Why are you having that kind of a success? Why is it happening for you? After all, I now feel the pressure to push back. But because you're expanded, you weigh more. And you don't move as quickly to the bumps of life. And you have to help them understand, I didn't expand to remove you. I expand to show you that there is a way that you can expand also. Because there's enough room for folks to expand. Somebody say, I'm expanding from here. Then the Lord said, there's a time to be ready. A time to be ready. Say, be ready, be ready, be ready. We heard in the early years of preaching from Bishop T.D. Jakes, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, that people needed to get ready. Now you got to stay ready. Be ready at all times. Be ready. Ready to pray at an instant. Ready to pray for somebody at an instant. Ready to bless somebody. Ready to reach somebody. Ready in the frame of mind. You've got to make sure you don't let the entertainment of this world make you go soft and squishy. And then try to gird up your loins and find out the armor don't fit. How long you been out of that armor? Couple months? That's why you didn't know something was changing. Because God's armor helps to expand with you, not expand without you. You got to be in it to win it. When you're ready at all times and your armor ready and your mind is ready and your faith ready and your prayer ready and your word ready and you're ready to do that, then God can call upon you. He's trying to get messages to his people that he can get to folks who are praying. But see, if all of God's people are in a selfish box, which the enemy wants to get us in, are in a selfish box, then the other people that are praying can't get somebody to come prove. That's why I said the other day that sometimes the Lord turns you this way, and you don't even know why you're there, but wait just a moment. Somebody's coming around the corner and God has put an appointment in time. But he wanted you there first. I learned this little time thing. How is it that God can touch somebody's life ahead of when somebody asks? My brother had come back from war back during the Gulf War. And he was in a place where he was not all the way set with God. He was suffering PTSD. He had other issues that were going on, and he thought God wasn't hearing him. So he came and visited the church in Alton where my wife and I were and married, and he comes with his family, and he is worshiping there. And I am up on the second row, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he's about five rows behind me. And the Lord speaks to me and says, get over there and pray for your brother right now. I stepped out of the seat and I started moving. I'm moving back rows. And I got back four rows, stood right in front of him, and put my hand on his head and started to pray for him. And something burst in his life. How long did it take me to hear and to move? Several seconds, right? My brother said, I had no more, his eyes were closed. He said, I had no more said, Lord, if you still love me, send my brother back here to pray for me. And my hand was being laid on his head. See, the eternal component of God will know the desire of his heart before he asks. But even while he was asking, the Lord had already moved to bring somebody in position. So it happened instantaneously, so that my brother would know the suddenly is from God. The instantly is from God. That's how miracles happen. That's how salvation happens. That's how God wants it. And if we are yielded to him and ready, he will tell us something that ain't nothing else going to indicate it. There's nothing else saying it. My brother wasn't looking at me and said, come pray for me. There was nothing in the atmosphere other than God's voice, and his command was enough. And when I moved, I was there right on time. God didn't want the prayer delayed. God didn't want that happening in an instant later. Because an instant later would have said, that's a circumstance. That's just something that was read by body language. That was something that could be explained away. But because I knew ahead of, because the Lord is the head of time, and because he was before me, he could tell me something before time that I could be there on time. The shofar sounding was the sound of God ahead of time, before time. And it took a while to get, but both Natasha and Monica got here on the same weekend from two different states, 1,000+ miles apart. But God arranged their living. God arranged their business. God arranged everything so that they could be here right on time, to be the right person in the right place at the right time for the right thing from God. Somebody say, I'm here. I'm the right person. I'm in the right place. And I'm right on time. Give God a praise in here. And since he is the Lord of time, and he has said, be ready. I'm gonna skip. He is the one who changed time. The day that changed time is the day he bridged time from the first sin to the last sin that would be ever committed. He bridged the gap between God's heaven and this earth, anchored on a tree, suspended into the air in pain and agony. But time had to acknowledge a Savior that was making sure that that which was messed up in time would not be messed up in eternity. I told you that the God of time is the only one that can change time. It's how he shifted you from the time of your life that was prophesying your destination would not be good. Your destination would not be anything godly. But with meeting Jesus, he shifted your destination. So turn to somebody and say, what are you worried about? He shifted your destination. He didn't leave you hurting and in pain. He didn't leave you in a home that did not know Jesus. He didn't leave you in a place to feel like nobody loved you. He didn't leave you in a place that was totally of the past torments and traumas, but he brought you out of that time and changed your time so that today does not only prophesy a different outcome, today causes people to say, have you been in church all your life? Surely you must not have had anything go wrong with you, because when the Lord erased sin, he erased its timeline. When you came to Christ, your plea of salvation went whistling back to that cross. Once over 2,000 years ago, went back and touched, and the blood and the saving grace of a Savior who only had to die once, that power came whistling past the eons of the dark ages, past all the wars, past all the gainsayers, past all the Holocaust, past all the pain, past
past your genetics, past everyone else that didn't serve God, and came and met you right where you're at. And the cross erased the sin, erased it in time, and erased it in eternity. Somebody jump to your feet and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. You caused my past, my present, and my future to change in time. And now I am an eternal creature with eternal life. I might live in time, but I can declare by Jesus, this is my time. It's my time to praise Him. It's my time to live for Him. It's my time to shine. It's my time for victory. It's my time. It's my time for manifestation. It's my time. It's not pain's time. It's power's time. It's not trauma's time. It's triumph time. It's my time through Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands and thank Him. Lift up your hands and thank Him. Let's worship Him while they sing. Thank you, Lord. I hear you. I'm going to say what He said. This is why He can prophesy to you something that's going to happen in time. Prophesy you the wife. Prophesy a friend. Prophesy a business. Because the Lord made an appointment in time. To everything, every purpose, there's a time assigned under the heaven. We say under the heaven, there's a time assigned. And a purpose partnered. This means when I say there's only one outcome, is because I understand that when the Lord spoke that prophetic word and gave it to me, that became mine in time. Therefore, it's mine on time. And since the Lord can change time, He can either have me wait patiently and walk into it, or He can change it into a suddenly and the door throw wide open because I was ready. Yeah. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, every prophetic word You've given me, every promise You've given me, it's mine right now. Because I'm an eternal creature in time.
I have for You.
Go ahead and kick that reverb up.
I know just what You're going through. When You can't see what tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through. Remember, I know the plan.
Is the Lord of the master plan. Say, Lord, I thank You, Lord. Some of those things were planned so that I would trust You. Other things were outcomes of my decisions so that I would learn wisdom and I'd learn the real understanding of the value of a good decision. But Lord, I'm thankful that when I said yes to you, you opened up the mind of God for the plans you originally had for me. And I receive them now gracefully, and I receive them faithfully. Thank you, Lord. Help me walk in it. Help me enjoy it, what you've got planned for me. I know. Woo. Yes. Strength for everything. Joy. Strength. I know. Plans I have for you. Listen to this preacher. Our only permission to be upon this planet is this earth suit. As long as it is alive, we are able to be here. Released. Once that this life is over, you will be then released from this earth suit into eternity. And you will be released with only one major question. What did you do with Jesus? Did you know him or did you mock him? Did you receive him or did you ditch him? What did you do with Jesus? Because you see, my friend, that will be the indicator of the destination of eternity. For those when this pod breaks open and the last breath is gone, for those that knew him on a daily basis and those that were saved, they're going to go into eternity before God with a smile on their face. Because they're going home. For those that don't know him, when that pot breaks open and life is over, there is a cruel, rude awakening to the judgment and punishment of not receiving Jesus. But the Lord doesn't have us preach just heaven and hell, which are real, but he has us preach the very open arms of the love of God. That God doesn't want anyone to be lost. That's why he sent his only begotten son, so that he could save you, that he could raise you, that he could give you eternal life, and that he could adopt you into the family of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all those old things passed away. Will you right now receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you don't know him? If you're just living life, just going through the motions, just going through life, and if you come to church, that's great, but you need to know Jesus, because Father is not going to ask you what church did you belong to. He already knows that. He is going to ask you, what have you done with my son, Jesus? And his arms are open right now, his grace and his love, because on that cross of Calvary, he paid it all for us. If there's anyone here in the sound of my voice or anyone that's online and you would like to come to Christ, and you believe that he is the Son of the living God, and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and mine, and that you believe that he got up on that third day, and you believe that one day he's going to return for his church. If you believe that and you know you cannot get up from where our illustration was and you need Jesus to help you up, would you pray this prayer with me? And would you believe with all your heart? Because believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. Would you pray, Lord Jesus, I come to you a sinner, which means I messed up, I'm lost, I am without my way to you. I come to you asking for you to save me. Forgive me my sins. That is all the wrongdoing that could ever be done and what was cursed against my life. Forgive me for my sins. I receive you as my Savior. Save me now. Rinse me of all the things of this world. I renounce my old life and I choose the new life. Transform me now. Save me by your blood. Save me by your grace. And I am saved. Lord, thank you for coming into my heart and being my Savior and Lord. Now, sweet Holy Spirit, to everyone that has prayed that both here and online, Holy Spirit, come and seal it right now. Seal that with the renewing, the regeneration of the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we all experience that have been saved, that they will experience it. It's not a mind trip. It's a spiritual connection that rinses away all of that and begins to change. Deliver them now from everything that has hindered and bound their life. We break it in the name of Jesus. Every foul habit, every unclean spirit that's tried to bind them and to cause them trauma and torment, we break them free from the captivity, and they have chosen Jesus. So you foul spirits, let my people go in the name of Jesus. To freedom that come to heaven's home, to a life with Jesus forever. Now if you've been saved, and all that have been saved, say, Lord, I dedicate my life completely to you, to serve you all the days of my life. Show me through your word. Show me through a good church. Show me through good friends, good preachers, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me now, Lord Jesus, with the Holy Ghost and fire, and the evidence of that heavenly language, that I may speak with you and talk with you in that heavenly language. I am grateful. Jesus' mighty name. Everyone give God a round of applause here, there, and everywhere. Turn to somebody and say, your future is shining bright. It's calling to your today. It's your time. God's blessings to you. You may be seated. Thank you so much.
He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
He's an on time.